welcome to The Oge Show, a podcast that is themed around societal issues. If today is your first time of joining us, welcome. What we discuss here is mostly things that concerns you and I in the society. Sometimes it's centered around politics, other times it's centered around economics. The other times it could be education, it could be pop culture. As long as it affects us in the society, we talk about it here on this podcast. It's entertaining, it's educative, and it's informative. So you can continue to be part of us by clicking the subscription button. Prior to this episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Shola Onchu, who is a general medicine practitioner practicing in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. He spoke to us about spontaneous abortion. The episode was packed full with information and education. Come to think about it, I actually did not even know that there were different types of miscarriages until last episode. Like, there is incomplete and complete miscarriages. Blew my mind. You should totally check that out after listening to this episode. So today is June 12th, and in Nigeria, it is Democracy Day. Formerly, it was celebrated on the 29th day of May since 1999, but the present administration changed it to June 12th in 2019 to commemorate the freest and fairest election that has ever taken place in Nigeria's history. Now, when this announcement was made last year, it was met with a lot of mixed feelings, as expected. Today, I have peers who have something to say about Democracy Day, what they think about Nigeria's democracy, what problems Nigeria's democracy has been facing. Is Nigeria really practicing true federalism? Is Nigeria practicing true democracy in the sense of the word? What solutions can be preferred? How do we move forward from it? But before that, I want to say a very big thank you to every single one of my subscribers, listeners, the audience, you, for making it this far with me. We've been doing this for over a year, and I just want to say a very big thank you. The podcast numbers are really growing, and I'm really impressed, I'm elated, and I just want to say a very big thank you. Without you guys, there is no also. Right now, I'm going to go live with a few of my peers and have them talk to you about what Democracy Day means to them and how far Nigeria's democracy have come. And please also do not forget to subscribe, do not forget to like, and you can share your opinions with us via all our social media handles. It's The Oge Show across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also send a voicemail, the Anchor app. So yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so please introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Olamide.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to ask my name.
It's just your name.
Yeah, what again should I say? Where I'm from?
What do you do?
Okay, I'm interning at a particular firm.
Okay.
What again?
Okay, before we begin, how old is Nigeria's democracy? I want to see how patriotic you are.
21 years. It should be 21 years. Since 1999. Till now, 2021 years.
It's been 21 years of democracy in Nigeria. What do you think about democracy in Nigeria?
Okay, should I go back to where I start? Okay, first of all, democracy is government where majority of people elect as government for the people, and they do the bidding of the people that they elect. But we should go back to, for the past 21 years, have we actually, as elections be free and fair? Democracy starts on the bedrock of democracy's election. If you don't get elections right, you're not practicing anything. You're still practicing a democratic rule of government. But our elections right? I don't think so. I know our elections are not right at all. Our elections are nothing to write in about. So
democracy in Nigeria is not working at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we've done the unitary government, we've done the presidential system, gone through the military system of government. What has been the advantages of a democratic government in Nigeria compared to the other systems of government that we've practiced $23.99.
Okay, apart from the issue of the military government, where there was gross misconduct, where human rights was being violated and all, we should compare ourselves to when there was a military government. I think things were even more balanced when there was a military government. The naira was more free fall.
How do you mean?
The naira was more free fall. Corruption was checked to an extent, if not for the.
Is it? Or was it?
The level of corruption as at then wasn't as compared to now.
Okay.
Yeah. The level of insecurity wasn't as compared to now. We don't have people terrorizing our borders. We don't have people trying to make a free state in a country that is independent. The Boko Haram are trying to make their own state inside a country that's independent. We don't have a place where bandits come all the way from Niger Republic. The borders are so porous, they move down north, all the way from Niger Republic, come down to Katsina, come down to Kaduna, maim and kill people without a proper response. It hasn't.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said okay.
So, I think things were more balanced, but because we have to move, because democracy in a proper democratic government, where everybody has to elect who he wants to rule him or her, or who he wants to be his representative, it has failed in this country because, like I said, elections are not being properly handled and elections are not being properly planned and all. So, I don't know. I feel, sincerely, if our democracy was proper and was well, where the government hear the cries of the people, where whenever we say we don't want this, it happens like we don't want that. When we say this is the person we want, we get what we want. We have gotten beyond the military government. But right now, it's as if we have taken ourselves back to the pre-colonial era. You understand?
Era.
We have not taken ourselves back to the military government. We have taken ourselves back to the pre-colonial era. The country is, to me, I feel like I said earlier, everybody's moving mad. Like, everybody's moving mad. Yeah.
Okay. So, what is the problem with Nigeria's democracy? What do you think the problem is, in your opinion?
Okay, in my opinion, I feel the problem with Nigeria's democracy, first of all, is ethnic and religious differences. Second of all, corruption. All
right.
Third of all, ethnic and religious differences. Third of all, there's no love for country anymore. You understand? So, are you with me?
Okay. So, what solution can you provide? You mentioned three problems in your opinion that are with Nigeria's democracy. What solutions can you provide?
Okay. First of all, I feel this country should be restructured.
Okay.
This Nigeria we call Nigeria is not working. There should be restructuring. This country should be restructured. Second of all,
before you go ahead, please, what part of the Nigeria should be restructured? Is it just the government, or it should cut across?
It should cut across everything, all arms of government. It should cut across the judiciary, the executive, the legislature. It should cut across. There should be more anonymity for the state government. There should be more anonymity for the local government.
We have lost Olamide today due to the reception that you've been looking for. I don't know what is happening today.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Are you there? Okay. So, the restructuring and what else with that fix?
Restructuring, fixing corruption, like eradicating corruption, and trying to drop our inter-religious and ethnic differences, trying to drop that aside for the love of country.
Okay.
So I feel when we address all these things, our democracy will be better. Elections will not be rigged. Our politicians will
do or die affair.
Our politicians that we put in political posts, they will know that by the time I mess up, my people can recall me back for the Senate. For the governors and the presidents, they know that by the time I mess up, I won't have any say. I'll be booted out the next election. or something. But by the time the elections are not well, by the time there's corruption, I think corruption gives birth to all of these things. By the time there's corruption,
okay,
we won't be able to move forward at all. No matter the amount of Happy Democracy Day you say next year, Happy Democracy Day, but by the time we are still corrupt, by the time nobody wants to take the bull by the horn and do the right thing, sign the electoral laws, we all know where the problems are from, but we just want to ignore it based on one or two benefits we are getting from them.
Okay, so thank you very much, Olamide.
You're welcome. Okay, have a nice
day. Professionally, personally, what kind of introduction? Hello. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm saying, is it what kind of introduction generally, including my professional, what I do?
Just your name and what you do is
okay. Yeah, my name is Josh. I work in the venture capital space, but I'm a verified professional.
We also have someone else here.
Hi. Hi, okay.
Hi, Izine.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, before I go ahead with this interview, both of you,
yeah,
how old is Nigeria Democracy? Let me see how big you are.
To be honest, I didn't know that. According to Google, we're like 21 years now. We became like a democracy at 1999, I think.
Yes, okay. So that's how many years?
21.
Yeah. Josh, yeah. 21.
For Nigeria's democracy?
Yes.
No, like, I don't think so. I think we've at least practiced a version of democracy since 19, at the very least since 1963, maybe even since 60. Which is why there's multiple republics.
Well,
which is why there's multiple republics. First republic, second republic, third republic. You know, so I think we've been practicing democracy for long. Except if you want to argue whether that's like the actual spirit of democracy or it's just in substance. And if that's the argument, we haven't really practiced actual democracy even till now. So, yes.
Okay.
So I think I am.
All right. Yeah. So, Josh, what do you think about democracy in Nigeria?
Good question, tough question as well. From the perspective of somebody who's a proponent of democracy, I think that in Nigeria it's a failed project, and it does make me, the failure of democracy in Nigeria honestly makes me question whether I should remain a proponent of democracy or not, because it has failed so badly that it makes me realize how bad the failure can be as a system of government if it's not properly implemented, and the consequences it can have people who do not really have a lot of choice in how well that system of government performs, especially for them. So I think it's been a failed project. It's been really bad for Nigeria. Maybe not democracy in itself, but just the way we practice it. And so, yeah, I don't think we've done, if I had to score of 100, if we did score 25, then that would be a miracle.
Oh, okay. Isn't it? Do you agree with Josh, or do you have a different opinion about democracy in Nigeria?
I wouldn't say it's not necessarily like a different opinion. I think I don't necessarily think that we practice democracy in Nigeria. I mean, we say that we practice a democratic system. You know, I don't really talk about these things because I don't know about politics. I don't really involve myself in politics, but I do know that democracy should be like it's like a system of government that involves, you know, votes, you know, whether rich or poor, just involves everybody. You understand? They used to say it's like a government for the people, by the people, and you know, people. So I feel like in Nigeria we practice our own by mouth. We practice our own by mouth. It really has nothing to do with like the people, like the citizens and what they want, and you know, it's just a group of people ruling the system, and you know, like we now have to do like whatever they tell us, whatever they tell us to do. We don't have a, we don't have the right to say, oh, things shouldn't be this way. We don't have a right to say, oh, we should be treated better. Or it's just like I said, it's just by mouth. It's not really, if you ask me, it's not necessarily a
democratic
system of government that we're practicing.
Democracy, Josh.
Could you repeat your question, sir?
Yeah, I said, what is the problem with Nigeria's democracy? You highlighted some reasons why we are not, why you think we're not practicing true democracy in Nigeria. What are the problems with Nigeria's democracy?
That honestly, that's a question that I will attempt to answer, but I do not believe I have the correct answer, because you see, democracy in Nigeria is pretty much hydra-headed, so it's hard to tell which of the heads exactly is the most problematic, you know, which one is problematic enough to be caught up and which one needs to stay and get treated, whatever. But let's see. To start with, I think that the quality of leadership we've had since the First Republic in 63 has been dwindling, you know, as time went by. In the beginning, it was still poor leadership, as far as I know. Well, it's like all relatively poor leadership, but at the very least, those people had certain objectives. You know, whether those objectives were selfish, whether those objectives were original, you know, that's another conversation. But at least they had clear-cut objectives that they worked towards and they tried to achieve. And it was reflective in a number of ways. So it was poor leadership still, but at the same time, it was not directionless, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But the difference with then and now is it's poor leadership and it's also directionless. And so I think a huge component of the problems with democracy will start with the leadership, the quality of leadership. Currently, I mean, there's not much I can say about the quality of leadership in Nigeria. Everybody knows, you know, this as a fact. Another problem with Nigeria and the system in general is, again, people, we do put people, individuals, ahead of systems, you know, which is not the way it should work. The idea of a democracy is for absolute checks and balances. So they want the majority of people to have their say, and majority to have their way, minority to have their say, but there should be checks and balances to make sure that to a large extent there is equity. And those checks and balances will come from efficient, functional systems, you know, but we don't have those systems in place. For example, we don't have an effective judiciary. What we have is a judiciary where people can, you know, break down houses of judges by 4 a.m., you know, or harass judges, intimidate judges. Somebody could determine if, you know, he's an assistant to the president, and he'll come on Twitter and say, oh, I'm going to look into this and see what judge is responsible and who can fix this. Because judiciary in Nigeria, not trying to denigrate any sector or any arm of government, but from what I see, the judiciary in Nigeria doesn't appear independent. So where's the check and balance, you know? Or is it the legislature that check and balance people who, you know, are rubber stamp? So I think the fact that we lack systems where there should be functional systems, and we rely on individuals to effect justice and governance and security for us, it's pathetic, and it's one of the reasons democracy will never work as well. Also, thirdly, there's many more reasons, but I'll just use this as the third one. I think that we have a culture of, I said yesterday, what Nigeria practices, there's not really democracy, it's rent-seeking oligarchy, I hope I pronounced that correctly, which is essentially just a small section of people holding on to power, rich people, powerful people holding on to power for themselves, for their families. So you see a lot of selective appointments, for example, you see a lot of caucus or circle appointments. You see a lot of people raising their children, so people are preparing their children for future roles. So he was a governor, he's sending all his kids to Ivy League schools to get ready to come back, take over as senators, House of Rep members, advisors, all of that. So it's an entire, it's a family office, pretty much, you know. So, and nobody wants it to change, because the people who control the narrative, people who control the system in Nigeria, they don't want it to change. At least it's not going to change in their lifetime. Their kids did not go to Ivy League schools for nothing. They went to Ivy League schools to come back to rule us, you know. So it's like, there's a bunch of families that use examples, but I could give one which is very close to home. I lived here while I was in Nigeria, and then There's the Obanikoro family. The man himself was a senator, you know. He was many things for God knows how long. And then his son as well comes out of the blues and he does what he has to do, whatever lasts. He has to get it so that the dad, you know, moves from this party to that party, back and forth, until he also clears the way for his son. His son comes out of nowhere, runs for, I think, as a rep, I guess, against Danky W, who seemed to have the public, you know, confidence. But out of nowhere, this guy wins, so now his son is in the house as a rep. Silently, nobody's even talking about it. At the next election, he'll go to the Senate, maybe, and then another brother of his will probably run, you know. So it's the same. Both sides of the divide, actually. It's not just on the APC side, it's also on the PDP side. You know, so people are grooming their family members for different positions. And so that's that. Let me call it corruption. Let me also call it nepotism, which is a form of corruption. As long as these things are there to stay, democracy will not work in Nigeria, because then they will be happy with the fact that systems don't work to checkmate things like this that they do, which make no sense. You know, so I'm going to stop right there.
What is your opinion of the problems with Nigeria's democracy?
Okay, can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I think for there to be like a democracy, then you should also have like a functioning judiciary system. Like, I feel like Nigeria has there's no law and order in Nigeria. So if there's no law and order, how do we expect to actually, you know, practice, you know, like a true democracy, like Joshua said. So and then I feel like people don't even know, like, we don't really know what a democracy is. So it's like you don't even, if you don't know what a democracy is, how do you expect to practice it? How do you expect to checkmate your government, you know, for not practicing like a true democracy? So I feel like it's a problem with like everybody, like both government and citizens. I feel like there should be like, we've not necessarily done like our work in trying to find out, you know, what to expect from the government or from the citizens in a true democracy. So if we're not ready to do the work, and well, you cannot also do that if we have a lot of illiterates roaming around.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like I was saying, I'm not really into this whole politics thing, which is also a problem, because if you're not interested in your country's political affairs, then how can you be able to make things right? Or make a change or cause a change? So yeah, I feel like the problem with Nigeria's democracy is that we're not even ready, you know, to actually operate or practice like a true democracy.
Can do you mind if I, you know, contribute something to that line of thought when she talked about citizens? So what typically happens, which is one of the reasons why there's a lot of protests in the US and in France, places, for example, currently and in past, when people do not like, you know, what's going on with the government, when you believe the system of government has failed or is failing, because as far as I'm concerned, Nigeria is tending towards, you know, status of being a failed country, a failed receptacle of colonialism. I mean, that's very big English. I'm not sure anything. Yeah, so when that happens, people get up, protest all over the world, right? The difference is in Nigeria, what I call the Nigerian dream is twofold. The first version of the Nigerian dream is to make enough money to leave Nigeria. I love Nigeria from abroad, right? So I can afford to be elsewhere and live in Barcelona. I'm here now, you know. And then I'm speaking about Nigeria. I can afford to be passionate. I can afford to love Nigeria and believe it, you know. But until then, you haven't really enjoy the Nigerian dream if you're not able to get money, leave Nigeria, and then, which is why everybody's trying to run away, you're asking about applying for visas and being stowed away if they need to. That's one component, one reason why nobody's protesting. The second reason is because I think the second version of the Nigerian dream, yeah, that's what I was trying to say, is for people to get like complaints so loudly that they get considered for certain appointments, and so they become a part of the government that they appeared to despise so much, and now they have to defend that same government. So many of the people who are shouting, who are speaking now, they're in the minority. There are not a lot of people speaking against the injustice and all of the bad things happening in Nigeria. But those few people, most of them, I can tell you, are trying to get their voices heard, not because they want any systemic change, but because they want to get appointed and they want to, you know, step up. They want to get their version of the national cake. As despicable an allegation as this might sound, despicable an allegation as this might sound, you know, you could check the records and see all the people who we considered active. So Oshiomhole used to be union leader. I remember him growing up and watching my TV with my parents saying, "No peace, no justice," all that stuff he used to say. Now, where's Oshiomhole? Oshiomhole is at the cesspool, like the very bottom of the barrel right now when it comes to down dirty politicians in Nigeria. And so it's a Nigerian dream. Shout loud enough, they will notice you, but that guy is causing trouble. Let's give him something that'll keep him warm at night, you know? And they give you an appointment, and that's the dream. So for a lot of Nigerian youths, they do this selfishly, and because it's a system that has failed for them, everybody's fighting for his pockets, everybody's fighting for his family. I want to get ahead personally. I'm 20 whatever, or I'm 30, I'm 35, I don't have a job, you know, things are really bad. I know, I have seen examples of people who spoke up against the government and they got appointments, or they got contracts, or they got some measure of recognition, relevance, whatever. So maybe I'm gonna try that route. There's also young people who don't have jobs, and their answer to that is to apply to the army or to the navy. At least they'll get a steady salary. But when they get to the front of Boko Haram at the war front, they have to run because they are not trying to die. They didn't join the army to die. They joined the army to survive, which is an irony because when you join the army, you have to sign a contract, you know, to let your life go. So it's a crazy dilemma that Nigeria finds itself in as a country, which is why personally I have no hope for the future of Nigeria, to be honest. I know this is on record, and it's not saying I'm not going to try or do my best to support the country, but I'm supporting from a position of pessimism, right? So I'm not supporting because I know for sure that it will get better. I think it will be a miracle if Nigeria gets better. I'm supporting because posterity will ask, you know, what did you do? You know, how did you contribute to the process of the system? Yeah. I mean, that's why. But if it's about Nigerians being the last resort when the government is failing and protesting and changing things around, I have no faith in that process.
Okay, wow, that is very deep. So what solution can we prefer to, can you prefer to, you know, to democratic Nigeria, isn't it?
Okay, oh, that's for me. I think, sorry, yeah, so I think we just need to go back and do our assignment. Like, everybody has a role to play, you know, in ensuring that Nigeria maybe one day becomes like, or practices like a true democracy, you understand? So everybody needs to actually, you know, do the work. Government, the citizens, you know, every one of us. Because like this guy actually said, I feel like in this country, I mean, things are really bad, that nobody's really trying or really thinking about making Nigeria better, or, you know, getting Nigeria to the point where, you know, people can actually say, oh, we're practicing like standard democracy, because everybody's just fighting for themselves. Do you understand? So I feel like when we can all truly put in the work, and we have to start first of all by being actual patriots. I think that's one of the issues that we have in this country. I feel like we don't have any patriots amongst us. So if we really understand the concept of patriotism, and, you know, then we can actually really work towards bettering the country and actually, you know, living up to its name as a democratic country or a democracy.
Okay. Josh.
Yeah, my thoughts on that.
Yes. What solution can you prefer? Do you have anything?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm also going to try to prefer solutions, or one solution maybe more. But let me start with the concept of patriotism. See, the thing with patriotism is it's a wholesome wholesome ideology in itself, right? And so what we do in Nigeria is we pick parts of that ideology and try to use it to blackmail people, you know, to follow in that school of thought. Patriotism isn't just about loving your country, it's about your country loving you back, right? So you will not love any entity, any whatever, anything that doesn't love you. You cannot love it sustainably. You cannot love it forever, right? A partner that abuses you all the time will not get enough or as much love from you. And that's the case in Nigeria. So they keep saying, not the speaker per se, but I'm speaking about like leaders, for example. They keep trying to blackmail you emotionally with, oh, you people are not patriotic, cut your costs, do this. But I cannot be patriotic for a country that doesn't love me. Ask yourself, what has Nigeria given to you as a person, right? I've lived in a bunch of places. A lot of these places have given me more than Nigeria has given me, right? So what is the incentive for me to be patriotic? When we want to talk about patriotism, we reference other countries where people can be on food stamps when they don't have jobs, can be on social welfare for themselves, for their kids, for their aged parents. You know, they could take a loan by virtue of just having a social security number. They could go to school on loans as well. There's a lot of things going on in multiple countries. There's a lot of incentives that people have to believe in the system for the future, to support the system, to make it work. We don't have any of that here. When I'm in Nigeria, I was living in the service department. In that service department, I was still paying for water separately. I was paying for power separately. I was paying for my own cleaning. I was paying for my own food. So what is serviced about the apartment? You know, I'm my own government when I'm in Nigeria. So don't tell me about government. Don't tell me about patriotism. I'm patriotic to myself. And whatever myself thinks is best for myself, that is what I'll be patriotic to. So I think patriotism... Yeah, no, I'm... Again,
okay,
this is not directed at you. Because yeah, but also... Okay.
No, I know. Sure. But I just want to add.
Yeah?
I just want to add, yeah. I feel like I understand where you're coming from, but then I also feel like if we did have true patriots in the system, do you understand? We will not be having like people will be going into like this government positions with the idea of trying to better the country, trying to better the name and the image of the country. Do you understand? But because everybody is like one, every man for himself, nobody's really thinking about, you know, like actually taking steps, you know, to better the country. That's what I'm saying. Patriotism is, yeah, I do understand, like, oh, what has Nigeria done for you and all of that. But I feel like if many more people had, you know, like the idea of like trying to be actual patriots, they'll be going into these positions with the idea of doing so. And then if we have like a lot of them in power like that, I feel like baby steps. It's not going to happen all at once. But the thing is, Nigeria is just filled with a lot of greedy people. People are just trying to get into these positions for whatever they stand to gain. I feel like these other countries that we use as examples, like example, like the US, many people don't agree with Donald Trump and his way of administration. But then I also feel like Donald is like a patriot. Yes, he might be racist and all, but like, he's all for like America and what America, like the image of that America has, and that's what so many of them also have. Like they have this, like, we must make America great. America cannot be perceived to be like, you know, the bad egg or anything. And it's just because from like they've always really had this thing about patriotism that we don't have. If you're a true patriot, everything you'll be doing, you'll be fighting for your country, trying to make sure that your country is better. And if you're doing those things, they are always visible. But the thing is, the people in Nigeria going into power, I'm never going there to make Nigeria great or make Nigeria better. Everybody's just going because, well, I have stuff to gain. And even the ones that claim that they are actual patriots or they are actually trying to fight for the country, they enter it's the same thing.
Nobody really cares about the country. I do agree with you, but at the same time, Nigeria has had a lot of patriots. We don't need, we have shown that we don't need patriots. Gani Fawami, of blessed memory, he ran for election in 2003. Gani Fawami was one of the foremost human, you know, rights activists in Nigeria. He was loved. He was patriotic. He was appreciated. He would regale you with stories of how he traveled, carried Nigeria on his back, all of that. He ran for election in 2003 to become our president. Guess what we did? He didn't even score up to 200,000 right? Ken Saro-Wiwa came out and fought for the cause of his people and said we want a better Nigeria that works for everybody. You know, he raised his voice and he got killed, right? I could give you countless examples. For example, let me give an example of a military leader who I personally do not agree with, and I think he did a lot of terrible things before he became leader. But at the same time, when Murtala Mohammed became president, he was trying to live the simple, patriotic, you know, let's uplift Nigeria life and all of that. He was driving without escorts and all the fanfare that would come with president. What happened? He got shot ahead of state, you know, because he was driving himself. So Nigeria, the problem is not a lack of patriots. The problem is what do we do with our patriots? We make them martyrs, but the difference between martyrs and our patriots is we don't regard our martyrs as heroes, right? So our martyrs are dead and they're long forgotten. Their families are left to grapple with the vacuum that they've left behind, with the memories of all the things they stood for, and the fact that they're dead now, long cold, you know. So nobody wants to be a hero in Nigeria because we know how those heroism or whatever, those escapades end. There's no change, and you're just dead. You feel me? So it's not a lack of the death of patriots. It's just the fact that there is no incentive, like I said earlier, to be a patriot. And even from the beginning, the difference is many countries in the past, somebody stood up one day and said, you know what, fuck this, pardon my French, things have got to change. The difference in Nigeria is all of those people who stood up and said, fuck this, things have got to change, who fought till the end, they're all dead. And guess what changed? Nada, zilch, zero, nothing, right? Yeah. So you who's about to rise now, when we have even more oppressive regimes wearing garbs of civilian government, you know, what is your sense? And then to go to the to answer the question of change, look, I don't believe in a grand philosophy of, oh, we need to do this, that for things to change. I feel like small, at this point with Nigeria is volatile, tiny things will cascade into bigger things. The change I'm looking for in Nigeria has to come from some type of domino effect. So start with something small, something symbolic. For example, Tinubu loses in Lagos. I can assure you that will spark more of a change, a chain of change in a lot of ways than any coming together, Office of the Citizen, reporting on, we talk about exposing corruption, blah, blah, blah. The EFCC will only go after who, you know, they have their sights on based on political expediency and interests and priorities. I mean, I've been seeing news the entire time. Lagos House of Assembly Speaker has been accused, you know, of having over 65 bank accounts. I don't know, maybe it's more, maybe my numbers are wrong. But these are things, the Lagos State House of Assembly Speaker, this thing has been out there, all of the accounts. It's not even, he hasn't even denied it. Then the House of Assembly comes together and gives me a vote of confidence. So we're not serious as a country. No foreign country takes us seriously. Whenever I'm out of Nigeria, people always have Nigerian jokes to tell me, like, oh, have you heard this about Nigeria? Ha ha ha. It's funny. And I laugh as well because it's fucking funny, right? So we're not ready for this thing. So we need one symbolic event to cascade into other events that will eventually lead to the change we talk about. Otherwise, there will be no collective agreement for change. If you say let's protest as young people, let's wear black shirts, let's assemble at Ojota on Sunday by 9 a.m., only 100 young people will come out, right? So that's if you can get up to 100. And those 100 who come out, a lot of them will be hoping to get paid for protesting. And you don't totally blame them because they're starving, they're hungry, they don't have jobs, they don't have money to feed, right? You cannot protest on an empty stomach. Even if you did it for the first day, what about the second day? Who's going to feed you? What if you get shot? You know, is there any medical health insurance that covers you? And me personally, for example, I'd love to protest, but I'm not going to be alone standing down the barrel of the gun of the Nigerian police. I know that they can kill with reckless abandon. So I will not do it. I'm not trying to endanger my life, except I'm trying to endanger my life. Then I'd have to have good reason for that. You know, so these are things we need to consider. Mm-hmm. Start with Lagos. Let the incumbent lose election. Let's start with small seats, chairmanships, House of Assembly, which is why I'm trying to get into politics, by the way, because I feel like at the end of the day, I'm not looking for change on a grand scale. I want to change. I still want to be selfish about the change. I'm like, you know what? Nigeria's problem is too big. People have died trying to fix it. Let me try to fix my village. At least so that my parents decide to retire to the village. They have a decent life. There's legislation. There's laws that work for them. There's roads that they can drive on. There's water camps that they can tend to. And they're secure in that village. They're not trying to get killed. or trying to have to retire security to defend themselves. They're not providing their own power. If we can fix all of these things on a personal level, I think that's the kind of change we want to start looking for. Be selfish about your change, because that's the only way Nigeria is really going to change.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Aiden May.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
No worries, you all.
Action.
So, Ifeanyi, what has been the advantages of a democratic government in Nigeria? You know, we've gone from unitary to presidential to the military. We've practiced different systems of government, and since 1999, we've been on democracy. What has been the advantages compared to the other systems of government that we've practiced in the past?
Okay. Growing up, I think my grandma will always tell me that she still enjoys military regime.
Okay.
To what we have now. So then she made me understand that, yes, although there were too many killings and all of that, but then at least to an extent there was certain level of orderliness.
Okay.
To what we have now. So I can't really place my hands on what the advantages might be, because they are not giving us chance. They are not giving the youth chance. They are not giving the citizens chance to do what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to speak and then we'll be heard. But we speak and we are not heard. Most times, okay, we're making noise on social media. Everybody's just saying one thing. We're just talking on our own. Nobody is ready to do anything concerning it. The office that got burned, if we were really practicing democracy, that office that got burnt, they should have looked into it and then found out the cause and make us understand that, okay, it was a natural disaster. But now in every Nigerian's head, we believe that it was planned, that something must have happened, because nobody can come out and say it was actually planned.
It was, actually.
And that's what democracy was supposed to be about. We're supposed to talk. Okay, this is not right. We want to understand what is going on, but nobody talked. Everybody just kept quiet and agreed that, okay, it was planned. And then that was it. Nothing again.
All right, so guys, finally, what solutions can you guys prefer for Nigeria's democracy to be
true?
What solutions can you prefer?
Okay, I think we need to start from the children, like these little ones now. We need to teach them or tell them how it is supposed to be done. Let them understand that corruption is not the way out. Because even in primary schools now, there are still some elements of corruption. Little things that little children do. I'm telling you, little things that little children do. Class captain election. You can imagine what happens. My younger sister, when she was in primary six, she told me they elected three of them and then asked who class to choose. She said the other two came to meet and told her, they told her to step down, that she would not win, stuff and stuff like that. They were ready to pay her off because their parents were rich. Mm-hmm. Their parents were ready to pay the teacher. Because at the end of the whole student year, these students are giving prizes for being a good leader in their class. Sure, you understand? So these parents were ready to pay. We're ready to pay my younger sister so she would step down.
That is terrible. That is a very, very, that's a very terrible thing for children to experience at a young age. So the rot is actually.
The other one was in primary six. You know, in primary six, they give prefects to the little ones, to the primary six students. Pupils, sorry. So my younger sister came home and said she was interviewed for. She was interviewed for sports prefects. Only for the day they were supposed to be, they were supposed to give them the badge. The badge they gave her was, what do you call it? Class prefect. And then somebody that wasn't there on that day, she said that was the person that they gave the post to. So if we want to work on our country, we should start from the little children. Let us start to tell them what is wrong and what is right. From there, gradually we are going with the mindset that okay, I'm up to make my country a better place and not make it worse than my parents have already made it.
All right. Tamwa, do you have anything to say, any solution to prefer?
I think I'll just still maintain the old mentality thing I talked about. You know, is if you look back, in retrospect, if you look at governors like Gowon, like Jakonde, do you understand? Those were like leaders that I knew that had the masses. They had their love for the masses at heart, and they had good governance skills and all that. The estate and all that that they built. It's still, and people, the masses are still enjoying it till date. Do you understand? Yes. Jakonde and Gowon Estate, they're like the biggest everywhere in Lagos. There's nowhere you go to that you're not even here, Jakonde Estate. In my area, in Ikoto Axis, there are like several of them here.
Low income.
Do you understand? And that has housed, it has even solved the housing issue for a lot of Nigerians. Do you understand? Because a lot of them, yes, now, because a lot of them have even bought over the buildings. Now, to even buy it off the owner, you'll be looking into the millions to even buy it off the owner. Now, that's how much those properties have appreciated. Do you understand what I'm saying? So those are like, if we want to talk about posterity's sake, those are like the leaders I can still talk about. I can still brag about. You understand? So back to our mentality, outlook, everything. If those ones are worthy of emulation, if the leaders we have now, and that was why I made mention of the old coronavirus thing. I wish they wiped all those guys out. I was just saying it literally. Yes, I was just saying it literally because I feel like they don't have love for us at heart. They're just all about themselves. We are still suffering from Desiani. We are still suffering from the Abacha's loot. Don't we still recover a lot of Abacha's loot every year? Abacha will be like, we'll be smiling at us like, these people are poor now. Let me give them some money. And that's how it's been going every year. Do you understand? So back to it, I really, if we change our mentality, the way we see things when we're sitting on that leadership seat, do you understand? If we change our mentality, change how we want to tackle issues and all that.
Yeah.
And if we have something called continuity, we don't have that in our democratic system.
And scraps.
Every leader that comes into place comes with his own machineries, comes with his own ideas, everything. There's nothing like continuity. Exactly. See what Trump did to Obama and all that. See, that was another issue, Steve. I don't even want to get into it. So basically, yes, if we have continuity in place, and we have good mindset, people who have love for the masses at heart or love for their people at heart, everything will be all good, and we will be seen as fucking around in this country, because that's what we are doing. So basically, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, you both said well. Let me just add, I still maintain my stand by saying that we need to redefine what democracy is, so we understand and we know what it is and what it's not. And then we need to educate the young ones as they are growing up. Yeah, like I said, I was part of a group called 7 Times. We were in university.
Yeah.
Basically checkmating the so-called SU president, and we ran the election process and everything. And I witnessed a lot of, you know, bribery and corruption. So I understand how people try to beat the system. So we should bear in mind that a lot of people will try to beat the system. But we must have good policies in place to checkmate these people. I think the work of EFCC cannot be overemphasized. So those guys need to stand their ground and not be corrupt. Because if you have a corrupt EFCC, then we're just having a laugh. And then also, we need to have, you know, democracy.
Yeah.
Democratic system of government is not cast on stone. There must be room for improvement. I mean, and leadership is not dictatorship. It's more like servanthood. You are there for the people. You must always give the people what they want. Don't dictate. Don't say, oh, this is what they want. Oh, this is what you need. I know you need white, or I know you need blue. Or I need blue. No, you need to know what they want. You need to have community contact, community heads, and all that to know exactly the needs of the people. So you can, because you were elected by the people, so it is for the people. So you don't go there and sit in office. I mean, I don't even want to think about how much they earn. Looking at how we still suffer, and then, you know, I mean, the construction industry, so I see, and if you look at the road construction project that we have, especially in Lagos, and you see the amount of money, the budget is always crazy. Let's not even go into that.
Seriously, we don't want to go into that.
Because it costs me a lot of headaches. As a quantity of video, you can measure everything and quantify it. And then when you see that, oh, you have a provisional storm and estimate, not even calculated, and they just say, oh, we need 1.something billion for this. And you're like, no, you don't need this for this. Who checkmates this? Contract. And then continue to accrue, as you rightly mentioned. You can't just start this project and when you go out of office, it ends, and that's the end. The next person that comes starts the whole project entirely. No, everything. Exactly. So even in business, what defines
quality? All of us, which is on people.
Customer requirements. So it should be customer focused. So I think governance too should be people focused. So that's my
Yeah.
Opinion. All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Thelma. Thank you, 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 Thank you